Cambridge Assessment International Education, Ordinary Level. English as a Second Language, Paper 2, Listening.
Exercise 1. You will hear 8 short recordings. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, C, or D, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear each recording twice. Question 1. What does the boy need a new shelf for?
Can you pick up your books, please? They're always on the floor.
I really want them on my desk, but I need to make some space for them. So first I need to move these folders out of the way. I could do with a shelf to put them on. How about under the one with my plants on?
Okay, let's ask Dad to put one up for you. Maybe you could have some of your photos on there too.
I'd rather have them on the wall instead.
Can you pick up your books, please? They're always on the floor.
I really want them on my desk, but I need to make some space for them. So first I need to move these folders out of the way. I could do with a shelf to put them on. How about under the one with my plants on?
Okay, let's ask Dad to put one up for you. Maybe you could have some of your photos on there too.
I'd rather have them on the wall instead.
Question 2. What does the man want the gardener to do first?
John, just calling to ask if you're still free to do some gardening for us this afternoon. The grass needs cutting, and the rose bush that's in front of the fence you painted for us needs some attention. It's getting too tall, and now the flowers have finished, it'd be a good time to reduce the size a bit. Can you make that top of today's list? And if you have any time to spare, there are some flowers that need planting under the kitchen window. Hope that's okay. Thanks. Bye. John, just calling to ask if you're still free to do some gardening for us this afternoon. The grass needs cutting, and the rose bush that's in front of the fence you painted for us needs some attention. It's getting too tall, and now the flowers have finished, it'd be a good time to reduce the size a bit. Can you make that top of today's list? And if you have any time to spare, there are some flowers that need planting under the kitchen window. Hope that's okay. Thanks. Bye.
Question 3. Which band did the girl see last night?
Did you go to the band competition last night?
Only part of it, unfortunately. I don't remember the names, but the one I wanted to see had 2 singers and someone on guitar.
I know who you mean. They usually have a keyboard player. Not last night, though.
Anyway, I turned up just after they'd been on. Apparently, the band with the drummer and singers was amazing. I heard they had everyone dancing.
They should have won. Though the winners were cool. Everyone played a different instrument and sang at the same time.
Luckily, I didn't miss them.
Did you go to the band competition last night?
Only part of it, unfortunately. I don't remember the names, but the one I wanted to see had 2 singers and someone on guitar.
I know who you mean. They usually have a keyboard player. Not last night, though.
Anyway, I turned up just after they'd been on. Apparently, the band with the drummer and singers was amazing. I heard they had everyone dancing.
They should have won. Though the winners were cool. Everyone played a different instrument and sang at the same time.
Luckily, I didn't miss them.
Question 4. Where should the students meet after lunch?
Listen, everyone. We'll shortly be arriving at the museum. Look at your maps. Can you see the main entrance? Just inside, there's an information desk. In the afternoon, we'll find our tour guides there. There's not much space, though, so we'll all meet up elsewhere after lunch and I'll put you into groups. So, straight ahead, you'll see the main staircase. You can't miss the big statue at the top. We'll get together at the bottom. Don't be late. Remember, there might be queues in the cafe if you have your lunch there. Listen, everyone! We'll shortly be arriving at the museum. Look at your maps. Can you see the main entrance? Just inside, there's an information desk. In the afternoon, we'll find our tour guides there. There's not much space, though, so we'll all meet up elsewhere after lunch and I'll put you into groups. So, straight ahead, you'll see the main staircase. You can't miss the big statue at the top. We'll get together at the bottom. Don't be late. Remember, there might be queues in the cafe if you have your lunch there.
Question 5. What did the man forget to pack?
There's our campsite, but I can't believe it started raining.
And I meant to bring an umbrella, then decided against it at the last minute. Oh well, at least I didn't leave my rain hat behind. But I knew I should have made a list of things to bring. I've just realised that my torch is still in the cupboard in the garage. Anyway, it's a good job I didn't bother getting a new camping chair. It wouldn't be much use in this weather.
I think the forecast is better for tomorrow. There's our campsite! But I can't believe it started raining!
And I meant to bring an umbrella, then decided against it at the last minute. Oh well, at least I didn't leave my rain hat behind. But I knew I should have made a list of things to bring. I've just realised that my torch is still in the cupboard in the garage. Anyway, it's a good job I didn't bother getting a new camping chair. It wouldn't be much use in this weather.
I think the forecast is better for tomorrow.
Question 6. Which is the woman's favourite photo?
This exhibition is stunning, isn't it? Especially this collection of swan photos. Imagine if you could choose just one to take away. Which would it be?
That's hard. This one, flying, is amazing. It really shows how powerful these birds are. And this one, taking off from the river, that must have been really difficult to capture in a photo. I guess it'd be between the one swimming along with its young behind it and the one settled down on the riverbank. The latter, I think. The colours are amazing.
This exhibition is stunning, isn't it? Especially this collection of swan photos. Imagine if you could choose just one to take away. Which would it be?
That's hard. This one, flying, is amazing. It really shows how powerful these birds are. And this one, taking off from the river, that must have been really difficult to capture in a photo. I guess it'd be between the one swimming along with its young behind it and the one settled down on the riverbank. The latter, I think. The colours are amazing.
Question 7. What is the girl going to do at the summer festival?
Are you helping out at the summer festival again this year?
Yeah. The best thing is, you only need to volunteer for a couple of hours. Then you don't have to pay admission. It's like getting a free entrance ticket. One task they needed people for was giving directions, though I'm hopeless at that. I was intending to help with handing out leaflets. That sounded pretty easy. Though when I went to sign up, I was persuaded to join the team collecting rubbish. I hope I don't regret it.
Are you helping out at the summer festival again this year?
Yeah. The best thing is, you only need to volunteer for a couple of hours. Then you don't have to pay admission. It's like getting a free entrance ticket. One task they needed people for was giving directions, though I'm hopeless at that. I was intending to help with handing out leaflets. That sounded pretty easy. Though when I went to sign up, I was persuaded to join the team collecting rubbish. I hope I don't regret it.
Question 8. How will the man and woman get to the lake?
Have you read the details about this adventure holiday? I think we should book it.
Does it involve horse riding? You know I'm useless at that.
It seems that you can do that as an optional activity when we get to the lake where we're staying. I might do that. You could go cycling instead. They offer that too.
Right, but the lake's pretty remote. The roads there will be really rough to drive on. We don't have to go on foot, do we?
That's the idea, though they take our luggage in the van for us. Have you read the details about this adventure holiday? I think we should book it.
Does it involve horse riding? You know I'm useless at that.
It seems that you can do that as an optional activity when we get to the lake where we're staying. I might do that. You could go cycling instead. They offer that too.
Right, but the lake's pretty remote. The roads there will be really rough to drive on. We don't have to go on foot, do we?
That's the idea, though they take our luggage in the van for us.
That is the end of exercise 1. Now turn to exercise 2. Exercise 2. You will hear 5 short recordings. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear each recording twice. You will hear a boy telling his friend about a recipe he tried. Now look at questions 9 and 10.
You know that recipe I showed you last week for biscuits? I made them last night. It didn't say exactly how long to bake them for, just to check their colour, which I was worried about, but I got that just right. I'd probably use brown sugar instead of white, though. I was going to make twice the amount, but there wouldn't have been space in the oven.
Well done. It's funny that you're into cooking. I'd never have guessed that about you. I understand why people do it, and I wish I shared your enthusiasm for it. It's just that I can't be bothered myself. I'm more than happy to try what you've made, though.
You know that recipe I showed you last week for biscuits? I made them last night. It didn't say exactly how long to bake them for, just to check their colour, which I was worried about, but I got that just right. I'd probably use brown sugar instead of white, though. I was going to make twice the amount, but there wouldn't have been space in the oven.
Well done. It's funny that you're into cooking. I'd never have guessed that about you. I understand why people do it, and I wish I shared your enthusiasm for it. It's just that I can't be bothered myself. I'm more than happy to try what you've made, though.
You will hear a man leaving a message for a colleague about a hotel. Now look at questions 11 and 12.
Hi, Bob. You asked about the hotel we used for staff training last month. Overall, I'd recommend it. I've actually just sent in some feedback. The training rooms were ideal, and the team who set everything up for us couldn't have been more helpful. It was the catering that we all gave top scores for, though. Anyway, I stayed there the night before, and the bedrooms are fine, though the first one they put me in was facing the main road. I didn't think I'd get any sleep. So they moved me to another one, smaller, but I had a desk for my laptop. And I could see the mountains from my window, which was a bonus. Hi, Bob. You asked about the hotel we used for staff training last month. Overall, I'd recommend it. I've actually just sent in some feedback. The training rooms were ideal, and the team who set everything up for us couldn't have been more helpful. It was the catering that we all gave top scores for, though. Anyway, I stayed there the night before, and the bedrooms are fine, though the first one they put me in was facing the main road. I didn't think I'd get any sleep, so they moved me to another one, smaller, but I had a desk for my laptop. And I could see the mountains from my window, which was a bonus.
You will hear two friends discussing a TV program called The Repair Show. Now look at questions 13 and 14.
Are you watching The Repair Show? You know, the TV program where people bring in broken possessions and an expert mends them.
I love it. It's incredible how they can fix things like that. And while they're doing it, they chat to the owners and get all the background information. That's why I can't stop watching it.
I can't argue with that. And it's fun when the expert says that something's worth loads of money.
Like that clock the man brought in.
Oh, yes! The wedding present from his aunt. And possibly foreign? I missed the bit about that. It was in such a bad state, though. I can't imagine what had happened to it. But it looked fantastic when it had been repaired. Are you watching The Repair Show? You know, the TV program where people bring in broken possessions and an expert mends them.
I love it. It's incredible how they can fix things like that. And while they're doing it, they chat to the owners and get all the background information. That's why I can't stop watching it.
I can't argue with that. And it's fun when the expert says that something's worth loads of money.
Like that clock the man brought in.
Oh, yes! The wedding present from his aunt. And possibly foreign? I missed the bit about that. It was in such a bad state, though. I can't imagine what had happened to it. But it looked fantastic when it had been repaired.
You will hear a man and a woman talking about a travel guidebook. Now look at questions 15 and 16.
Jen, I've bought a guidebook for our trip to Iceland next month. I had a look at the one your brother mentioned. It had amazing pictures. Then I spotted this one in the store. I remembered seeing great comments about it on social media, so I went for it. It was hardly the cheapest one, but here, have a look.
I'm not convinced that taking a guidebook makes sense. I'm not saying I won't read it. It's bound to have stuff on all the main tourist sites. As long as you can fit it in your backpack, mine's too small. It's just that things change so fast these days, so we can't be sure it has all the latest information.
Jen, I've bought a guidebook for our trip to Iceland next month. I had a look at the one your brother mentioned. It had amazing pictures. Then I spotted this one in the store. I remembered seeing great comments about it on social media, so I went for it. It was hardly the cheapest one, but here, have a look.
I'm not convinced that taking a guidebook makes sense. I'm not saying I won't read it. It's bound to have stuff on all the main tourist sites. As long as you can fit it in your backpack, mine's too small. It's just that things change so fast these days, so we can't be sure it has all the latest information.
You will hear a woman talking to a friend about her computer. Now look at questions 17 and 18.
Did you get rid of your old computer?
Yeah, it wasn't very fast. Not that that was an issue for me. I just found it awkward working on a big document, not being able to see enough of it without moving it up and down endlessly.
I guess you'll be able to save more stuff now.
Well, I actually had enough space before.
So, are you pleased with your new computer?
Yeah, I decided to move it here as it won't get knocked over in this room. It felt strange working in here at first. Also, I've noticed I keep typing the wrong letters as they're spaced out a bit differently. I'll get used to it, though.
Did you get rid of your old computer?
Yeah, it wasn't very fast. Not that that was an issue for me. I just found it awkward working on a big document, not being able to see enough of it without moving it up and down endlessly.
I guess you'll be able to save more stuff now.
Well, I actually had enough space before.
So, are you pleased with your new computer?
Yeah, I decided to move it here as it won't get knocked over in this room. It felt strange working in here at first. Also, I've noticed I keep typing the wrong letters as they're spaced out a bit differently. I'll get used to it, though.
That is the end of exercise 2. Now turn to exercise 3. Exercise 3. You will hear a student, Leo Wood, giving a talk about a sport called paddle. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear the talk twice. Now look at questions 19 to 26.
Hello everyone! I'm going to talk about a sport I'm into called paddle. Until 3 years ago, I'd never even heard of it. Now it's everywhere. There's an interesting piece in this month's sports magazine if you're interested. Anyway, I had the radio on and it was mentioned by an author who was answering questions about his hobbies. It sounded fun. Soon after that, I saw something about it on TV too. So, what is paddle? Well, basically, it's a mix of tennis and squash. When you play a game, the way that points are awarded is just like it is in tennis, but how you actually play is different, and some of the things you can and can't do differ as well. You use a racket and a ball, as you do in tennis. You can use tennis balls to play, but you have to use proper paddle balls in official matches. They look similar to tennis balls in that they're the same yellow colour, but they're not quite as big, and they're also not as hard, which means they don't bounce so much. Paddle's becoming a really popular sport. It's usually played in pairs. I mean, two people on each side, so it's always fun. And because you use the walls around the court, you don't have to run around too much, which is great. But above all, it's easy to pick up. You don't need lessons to start. Apparently, paddle was invented by a man called Enrique Corthuera in the 1960s. He wanted to pay someone to build a tennis court at his home, but as there wasn't quite enough room for one, he quickly decided to create a different kind of court, surrounded by walls and metal fences. A few years later, a friend of Corthuera came to stay with him at his home in Mexico. They played paddle together, and the friend enjoyed it so much that when he returned to Spain, he set up a paddle court in his sports centre there. It was there that some athletes from Argentina discovered it,
and they then introduced the sport back home. It soon spread around the world. I belong to a paddle club here. Membership has gone up recently. There are all sorts of players, even a couple in their 80s. Over half are in their teens, though. And there used to be more men and boys, but I'd say that's changed now. And not everyone is really athletic, but we all love it. I'm really excited about going to see an international competition next month. The stadium where it's being held will be full. You can't get a seat now. I wanted to go last year, as it was just after classes finished for the summer, though I had to apply for a new passport and it didn't arrive in time. Now, any questions?
Now you will hear the talk again.
Hello, everyone. I'm going to talk about a sport I'm into called paddle. Until 3 years ago, I'd never even heard of it. Now it's everywhere. There's an interesting piece in this month's sports magazine if you're interested. Anyway, I had the radio on and it was mentioned by an author who was answering questions about his hobbies. It sounded fun. Soon after that, I saw something about it on TV too. So, what is paddle? Well, basically, it's a mix of tennis and squash. When you play a game, the way that points are awarded is just like it is in tennis, but how you actually play is different, and some of the things you can and can't do differ as well. You use a racket and a ball, as you do in tennis. You can use tennis balls to play, but you have to use proper paddle balls in official matches. They look similar to tennis balls in that they're the same yellow colour, but they're not quite as big, and they're also not as hard, which means they don't bounce so much. Paddle's becoming a really popular sport. It's usually played in pairs. I mean, two people on each side, so it's always fun. And because you use the walls around the court, you don't have to run around too much, which is great. But above all, it's easy to pick up. You don't need lessons to start. Apparently, paddle was invented by a man called Enrique Corthuera in the 1960s. He wanted to pay someone to build a tennis court at his home, but as there wasn't quite enough room for one, he quickly decided to create a different kind of court, surrounded by walls and metal fences. A few years later, a friend of Corthuera came to stay with him at his home in Mexico. They played paddle together, and the friend enjoyed it so much that when he returned to Spain, he set up a paddle court in his sports centre there. It was there that some athletes from Argentina discovered it, and they then introduced the sport back home. It soon spread around the world. I belong to a paddle club here. Membership has gone up recently. There are all sorts of players, even a couple in their 80s. Over half are in their teens, though. And there used to be more men and boys, but I'd say that's changed now. And not everyone is really athletic, but we all love it. I'm really excited about going to see an international competition next month. The stadium where it's being held will be full. You can't get a seat now. I wanted to go last year, as it was just after classes finished for the summer, though I had to apply for a new passport and it didn't arrive in time. Now, any questions?
That is the end of exercise 3. Now turn to exercise 4. Exercise 4. You will hear 6 people talking about where to go on holiday. For questions 27 to 32, choose from the list A to H which idea each speaker expresses. Write the correct letter A to H on the answer line. Use each letter only once. There are 2 extra letters which you do not need to use. You will hear the recordings twice. Now read statements A to H. Speaker 1.
I must have been to around 30 different countries in all. I love discovering new places, though the idea of going back to a place I've already been to really doesn't bother me. What matters more to me is trying to avoid the crowds. I can't imagine anything worse than turning up at a popular resort and finding myself surrounded by people who've all followed the same advice about where to spend their holiday.
Speaker 2.
I know we should avoid travelling by plane these days to protect the environment, so I try to limit the number of flights I take each year. I've actually had some great breaks closer to home, and it can be less stressful not having to deal with foreign currency and another language when you're away. I'm not against a long journey, though. When a friend tells me about a destination that's worth visiting, I try to go, however far it is.
Speaker 3.
I'm not sure where we're going on holiday this year. My wife's happy to sit on a beach with a pile of books to read, though I'm the opposite. The idea of windsurfing one day and hiking the next is what appeals to me. We've stayed at a lovely hotel on the coast a few times recently, and my wife wouldn't mind doing the same again, but I fancy a change.
Speaker 4.
I've had vacations in some amazing places, but sometimes I feel like I need another break by the time I get home, especially if I've tried to fit in a load of day trips and do all the things that people have suggested are worth it. These days, my priority is less about trying to do everything and more about going somewhere, whether that's home or abroad, where you don't need a day or two to recover from the journey.
Speaker 5.
I'm going away with a few friends this summer, but deciding where is proving to be tricky. Everyone's got different preferences, though I'd say that wherever we end up, I'm sure we'll have a good time. So I'll let them make the final decision, that's fine by me. We had a great holiday last year at a local water sports centre. I loved kayaking. It only took 2 hours to get there, though I bet we'll go abroad this summer.
Speaker 6.
I'm visiting some family friends this summer. I'm looking forward to seeing them, but could do without the long flight. I'm quite good at sleeping on planes, though. We're going walking in the mountains, which sounds lovely. It'll make a real change from my last holiday, which was in a packed resort by the sea. And next year, who knows? My one rule is not to go back to the same place twice. There are too many other places I want to see.
Now you will hear the 6 speakers again. Speaker 1.
I must have been to around 30 different countries in all. I love discovering new places, though the idea of going back to a place I've already been to really doesn't bother me. What matters more to me is trying to avoid the crowds. I can't imagine anything worse than turning up at a popular resort and finding myself surrounded by people who've all followed the same advice about where to spend their holiday.
Speaker 2.
I know we should avoid travelling by plane these days to protect the environment, so I try to limit the number of flights I take each year. I've actually had some great breaks closer to home, and it can be less stressful not having to deal with foreign currency and another language when you're away. I'm not against a long journey, though. When a friend tells me about a destination that's worth visiting, I try to go, however far it is.
Speaker 3.
I'm not sure where we're going on holiday this year. My wife's happy to sit on a beach with a pile of books to read, though I'm the opposite. The idea of windsurfing one day and hiking the next is what appeals to me. We've stayed at a lovely hotel on the coast a few times recently, and my wife wouldn't mind doing the same again, but I fancy a change.
Speaker 4.
I've had vacations in some amazing places, but sometimes I feel like I need another break by the time I get home, especially if I've tried to fit in a load of day trips and do all the things that people have suggested are worth it. These days, my priority is less about trying to do everything and more about going somewhere, whether that's home or abroad, where you don't need a day or two to recover from the journey.
Speaker 5.
I'm going away with a few friends this summer, but deciding where is proving to be tricky. Everyone's got different preferences, though I'd say that wherever we end up, I'm sure we'll have a good time. So I'll let them make the final decision, that's fine by me. We had a great holiday last year at a local water sports centre. I loved kayaking. It only took 2 hours to get there, though I bet we'll go abroad this summer.
Speaker 6.
I'm visiting some family friends this summer. I'm looking forward to seeing them, but could do without the long flight. I'm quite good at sleeping on planes, though. We're going walking in the mountains, which sounds lovely. It'll make a real change from my last holiday, which was in a packed resort by the sea. And next year, who knows? My one rule is not to go back to the same place twice. There are too many other places I want to see.
That is the end of exercise 4. Now turn to exercise 5. Exercise 5. You will hear an interview with a woman called Ruth Awasika who creates art with paper. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear the interview twice. Now look at questions 33 to 40.
Ruth, thank you for coming here today.
You've been working with paper since your teens, haven't you?
That's right, in different ways. These days, I tend to produce designs using paper, you know, that you can hang on the wall in a frame. I've done a bit of paper making too, creating handmade paper for letters and cards. But initially, I used to make objects out of paper, models of animals and birds mostly.
And what inspired you to work with paper in particular?
My parents are both artists, and they always encouraged me to be creative. I used to love looking at all the different things that people made and sold at a market, for example. Then my class did a project about the history of paper, and I got a pile of books from the library in town to find out more about it. That's when I realised I was hooked.
You use a lot of recycled paper in your art, don't you?
I do. I collect all sorts of old paper. I've got masses in my studio, so I'm rarely short of material. Sometimes I put contrasting shades together, and other times go for very similar ones. Though it's considering what the paper was originally intended for that gives me ideas. For example, I've made a model of a train from old tickets.
What is your favourite piece of work?
Actually, I really dislike being asked that. To me, it's like asking a mother which her favourite child is. Nobody should have to make a choice like that. Also, I get a different feeling from a piece of work each time I look at it. It's not that I don't want to answer. If I could, I wouldn't hesitate.
I understand. You clearly get a lot of pleasure from your work.
I love what I do. Just sitting and working with paper is hugely satisfying. Then, of course, it's wonderful when you've got an exhibition somewhere and it's a great feeling receiving a prize or an award for something you've created yourself. It's the look on everyone's faces, though, as they're considering my work that I particularly appreciate.
A lot of your work is quite unique. How did you learn to do it all?
To be honest, there's so much information available on how to make paper or create art with it. You can get books which give really clear directions, or download a video so you can see someone actually doing it and copy them. That's all really helpful. But just trying different things out and seeing what works and what doesn't, to me, there's no better way of learning than that.
You've recently set up a new blog, haven't you?
That's right. It's going quite well, though I must admit I was nervous to begin with, mostly about making sure I could keep it up. I spend long enough on my work, not to mention writing about it. I didn't doubt that people would want to read it, and the thought of getting feedback that wasn't positive didn't cross my mind either.
And finally, what are your plans for the future?
Well, I'm lucky that I've got plenty of space to work in and can borrow another room, which means I could have about half a dozen people in here for lessons or special events. I'm going to start working on publicity for that soon. Anyway, I'm going to have a go at some work on a bigger scale before that. An international company has offered me a contract, which I'm really excited about.
Good luck with that. And thank you, Ruth.
Thank you.
Now you will hear the interview again.
Ruth, thank you for coming here today. You've been working with paper since your teens, haven't you?
That's right, in different ways. These days I tend to produce designs using paper, you know, that you can hang on the wall in a frame. I've done a bit of paper making too, creating handmade paper for letters and cards. But initially I used to make objects out of paper, models of animals and birds mostly.
And what inspired you to work with paper in particular?
My parents are both artists, and they always encouraged me to be creative. I used to love looking at all the different things that people made and sold at a market, for example. Then my class did a project about the history of paper, and I got a pile of books from the library in town to find out more about it. That's when I realised I was hooked.
You use a lot of recycled paper in your art, don't you?
I do. I collect all sorts of old paper. I've got masses in my studio, so I'm rarely short of material. Sometimes I put contrasting shades together, and other times go for very similar ones. Though it's considering what the paper was originally intended for that gives me ideas. For example, I've made a model of a train from old tickets.
What is your favourite piece of work?
Actually, I really dislike being asked that. To me, it's like asking a mother which her favourite child is. Nobody should have to make a choice like that. Also, I get a different feeling from a piece of work each time I look at it. It's not that I don't want to answer. If I could, I wouldn't hesitate.
I understand. You clearly get a lot of pleasure from your work.
I love what I do. Just sitting and working with paper is hugely satisfying. Then, of course, it's wonderful when you've got an exhibition somewhere and it's a great feeling receiving a prize or an award for something you've created yourself. It's the look on everyone's faces, though, as they're considering my work that I particularly appreciate.
A lot of your work is quite unique. How did you learn to do it all?
To be honest, there's so much information available on how to make paper or create art with it. You can get books which give really clear directions, or download a video so you can see someone actually doing it and copy them. That's all really helpful. But just trying different things out and seeing what works and what doesn't, to me, there's no better way of learning than that.
You've recently set up a new blog, haven't you?
That's right. It's going quite well, though I must admit I was nervous to begin with, mostly about making sure I could keep it up. I spend long enough on my work, not to mention writing about it. I didn't doubt that people would want to read it, and the thought of getting feedback that wasn't positive didn't cross my mind either.
And finally, what are your plans for the future?
Well, I'm lucky that I've got plenty of space to work in and can borrow another room, which means I could have about half a dozen people in here for lessons or special events. I'm going to start working on publicity for that soon. Anyway, I'm going to have a go at some work on a bigger scale before that. An international company has offered me a contract, which I'm really excited about.
Good luck with that. And thank you, Ruth.
Thank you.
That is the end of exercise 5. You now have 6 minutes to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. I will remind you when there is 1 minute left. You have 1 more minute left. That is the end of the examination.